Hello, what is up? And welcome to Off the Books, where we're surfing the uncharted waters of accounting, of finance, and wherever else those waves take us. Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva, the number one platform for financial reporting and compliance, including SOX, SEC, FERC, XBRL, and other out there acronyms. Workiva excels where Excel does not. Learn more at workiva.com/podcast. I'm Drew Dubner, and I am your host. I am not an accountant, but I like asking questions of people who are, so finance professionals can do their jobs better. And boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. We have Steve Soder, and we have special guest star Charles Carrington. Steve, would you tell the fine folks at home who you are?
Definitely, Drew. Thank you very much. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debiting some reflection in our conversation today.
And Charles?
I'm not so sure about the Diet Coke there. I'm more of a Dr. Pepper fan because it is recommended by a physician. So I would go with Diet Dr. Pepper. So I'm Charles Carrington. I'm a partner in Deloitte in our controllership practice. And the big news I heard today, by the way, is apparently the shortage of the words unprecedented is now over. Apparently, it is. I think the abundance of caution phrase is still being overused in some aspects, but there is now plenty of the word unprecedented left in the world.
Oh, this national nightmare has passed us.
It has. And it's $5 for every time you use that word unprecedented. Okay.
So our topic today gets into something entirely different: leadership and management and accounting. Right up your alley here, Charles. Mm-hmm. The world of work is obviously not what it was back in February. Your commute, if you're lucky enough to still have a commute, involves a trip to the spare bedroom or kitchen table rather than a drive to the office. And more tactically, it makes managerial work much more complex, and it brings about a whole bushel of questions that weren't there before. So, like, going into the unknown future, how should a remote workforce be managed? Sure, the job of accounting has been done over the past few months, but how many people would say that it has enhanced their careers? What does it mean to hire and coach and motivate a team that is all remote? Is it even possible to never connect with these people in person? What are the mental health aspects of having every interaction on a Zoom call? The mind boggles. Charles, from your perspective, can you briefly get us up to speed on what has changed for teams and individuals working remotely?
Well, yeah, I think Drew, you hit on it. The first one is that the job of accounting is getting done. And if you mean by the job of accounting, you mean bills are getting paid, numbers are getting booked to the financial statements, things are actually getting filed with the SEC. So the job of accounting is getting done. I don't think anyone after the first few days or first few weeks of lockdown was really struggling. I think early on in those days of lockdown, you heard of people having problems just getting enough laptops to people who are normally based in the office. You had some issues around working, remote working for shared service centers. Those very, very quickly got resolved. So I think you're absolutely right. The job of accounting is getting done. The task getting done. But I think we need to look at it more of accounting rather than just transactional. For example, how are people's careers progressing? How are staff being coached? How are they being trained? How are we actually innovating new ideas? How are we whiteboarding things? How are we actually problem solving together? So I think it's a lot of the task of accounting is getting done. It's just there is a lot more to the career of accounting than just the tasks.
So Charles, and again, forgive me, or rather pay me $5 for using the U word, but clearly unprecedented times.
Absolutely, but unprecedented.
But $5 to you. But let's...
Hey, I'm the bank here. I don't have to pay on my own rules.
Unprecedented. Take a drink.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But let's dive into that just a little bit. I mean, clearly people are under a huge amount of stress, not just from COVID, but there's so many other things going on in the world. Can you tell us, I mean, how has remote work fundamentally changed even after COVID broke out? It's almost like there's a stage two a little bit.
Well, let me ask you, You've worked you work with a very fantastic accounting firm sometime in your career, right, Steve?
I'm actually an alum of Deloitte & Touche.
There we go. Fantastic firm. So imagine that you're walking into an accounting department. What do you normally see, or what's normally going on in that space?
Well, you know, you've got people at their cubes. Maybe there's a conversation being had. Somebody's sketching something, maybe on the whiteboard. Somebody walking over to hand something to somebody else. I would say accounting departments are fairly muted, but under the, you know, behind the scenes, I mean, people are getting stuff done and they're interacting with each other.
So have you ever been teased about being a boring accountant?
Well, I've never been teased about being a boring accountant, but I've heard of others who are.
It's the best one I heard recently was when someone was talking about robotic process augmentation for accountants, and a voice from the back room just came up. Robotic accountants, I know a few of those. but I think where I am with is this is a very social profession. Social in the aspect of we're supporting a business if you're doing any type of accounting, whether it's the forecasting or whether it's actually just getting the bills paid or whether it's doing the SEC, you're supporting the business with their compliance, with their day-to-day operations, with their seeing where they're going. And that social aspect needs a lot of emotional intelligence that you just can't get over a Zoom call. And I think to your point, you just mentioned a moment ago, Drew, about, you know, there's a lot going on in the world and it's stressful for people. One of the things I've really noticed is how do you manage your team when you can't read their emotions?
Yeah, it's tricky.
I mean, you can't do it over a three-dimensional Zoom call. And I think when we first kicked this off a few weeks ago, everyone thought we'd just cut and paste our lives into Zoom. And have you ever been to a Zoom cocktail party?
It's painful. It's painful.
Why is it so painful? What's wrong with it? It's just like seeing your friends, but you're on your own home.
Well, you can't have a natural conversation. You can't sidebar into a conversation with one or two people. It's just a group of people. It's not natural at all.
It's not natural at all.
When there's a single person who can sort of dominate, whether they're a dominating personality or not, the audio is generally only going to pick up one person at a time. That interaction, the richness of that interaction, it's completely void of any of that. It is so flat in a word.
Right. And it's just like that when you go into a business meeting. If you're sitting in a business meeting, there's six people around the table. What do they say? The business of the meeting doesn't get done in the meeting. It gets done outside the meeting, whether it's in the prep conversations or maybe it's just in the first 5 minutes while you're sitting down there talking about how your day was or what else is going on in your life or standing by the coffee machine and trying to understand what else is going on in that organization. So I think as we're getting back to work, I never thought I'd say this, but people are longing to get back to their cubes. They're longing to see other people and actually be in a three-dimensional world. And you mentioned mental health issues. I think, sadly, I heard that this is the next pandemic that we're expecting is mental health issues, just because people need to be around people. And that's tough to read when you're not in the right room. You can't read whether someone is having a bad day, someone is upset about the news, someone is stuck on a problem. So that's why I think accounting needs to get back into this three-dimensional model.
Yeah, it's isolating. And I think a three-dimensional model would just lend itself well to accounting. I have another question about that. So this is the immediacy. But where do you see remote work heading in the future as a result of all this?
I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. I think there are benefits of being together in one place. I don't know if you remember back in the early 2000s when Yahoo had a new CEO, and the new CEO, the first thing they did was, here we got Yahoo as a tech company. And the first thing she did was stop people working from home. She said, you need to be in the same place to collaborate. You need to be in the same place to have those hallway conversations, to find out what's going on, to just be part of the organization. And But then on the other side, you had a lot of people just saying, you know what, working from home, that just means you're going to be sitting in your pajamas all day. You're going to be distracted by the fridge, the dog, and The Price is Right, which is the greatest TV show ever, correct?
That's true. That Amen. Is absolutely true.
So then you just think, well, what is the right answer? Well, and that's why I'm saying it's somewhere in between. And I think in the first, that one of the biggest learnings has been that sometimes change doesn't happen because people can't see the benefit of the change. There was a great study a few years ago about a strike on the London Underground, where there's about 20 different lines on the London Underground, but only two of those went on strike. So two of these lines were shut down. And some researchers actually analyzed all the swipe card data from all the tickets and could actually see what people's travel patterns were before the strike and what they were after it. And what was really interesting was one in 20 people after the strike did not go back to how their original journey was because they'd found an improvement. And what I mean by an improvement is they'd gone on a different route. And for whatever reason, the route they'd been taking for years and years and years was actually slower than the one they took during the strike. So there's some people like that, but there are also some people who would say, well, it wasn't about efficiency, about why I didn't change back. It was actually about the quality of the journey. So it was the quality of the journey. So it may have taken a minute longer, but I walked past a Starbucks on this new route. So that's what I mean as an example of sort of people just having a taste of what change looks like. And I think that's what COVID has done, the lockdown has done, is that we've been forced to work at home. Now, there are going to be certain times when we are more productive being at home. We get that peace and quiet. You know, we can knock out a report, for example, and we need that peace and quiet. And maybe people just didn't realize how productive they could be when they're at home. But there are other elements of that we're coming to the conclusion that, yes, we need to be around each other. And I think that that brings into the quality of the job, the quality of how you manage your staff and how you motivate them, that you can't do everything by remote control. So we're going to end up in the middle somewhere.
So while working remotely has its place, as you just described, it sounds like, at least from an accounting perspective, and I would certainly say strongly that this would apply in all cases, that by itself is probably not sustainable for all of the intangible reasons, even beyond at least initially getting the work done. It can't be all or none in whatever the, you know, new normal looks like after we emerge. And I don't mean like the today new normal. Mm-hmm. I mean the kind of post-pandemic normal.
No, I hear these stories about people expecting a crash on property prices in Manhattan. And I do actually think that I'm sure there will be a reduction in demand for people all being together once we're all in the same, once we've gone through this and we've got the vaccine and everyone is back to normal. But I think it will end up that we'll be what I call a hybrid model. We're not going to do everything at home, but we're not going to do everything in the office. Why would we, right?
Yeah, that only makes sense. And we're not going to do everything in this podcast, including a commercial. So we're going to take a quick break for a commercial. Be right back. Hang tight. Today's episode of Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva. A recent, very highly scientific study conducted by me when I asked a teenage grocery store clerk about it yesterday concluded that young people don't know much about accounting or Enron or internal controls or what the SEC is at all. And that is a danged shame, dear listener. You know it. I know it. Accounting and finance and compliance professionals are the gosh darn lifeblood of the mechanisms that keep the world on the rails. Even if those TikTok addled teens who staff the cereal aisle can't see it, you are a hero. Accordingly, heroes need the right tools. Batman does not roll in a 1992 Mercury Capri, Ah, this brings us to Workiva, the accounting and compliance platform of the future, custom built for heroes like yourself. Put all of that vital risk and compliance and reporting documentation in one place and spend less time copy and pasting stuff between them. Work anywhere you need to be, whether that's home or your actual office or the grocery store. Automate the useless stuff and get back more time to do the cool things you actually went to college for. Yes, Workiva. It is both magically delicious and kid-tested, mother-approved. Learn more at workiva.com/podcast. That's workiva.com/podcast. And we're back. Charles, 1,000 apologies. Please allow me to give you the opportunity to tell us a little bit more about Deloitte and what you do there.
No apology required. I work in what we call our controllership group. Controllership, we serve clients who are responsible for preparing financial accounts. And very simply, what we do is we help those people produce their financial accounts in a way that is to a higher quality and to a higher efficiency. So better accounts at a lower cost. And you say, your next question, Drew, should be what?
What?
No, it should be, how do you do that? Am I taking over your job now here as well?
For real.
Host? Apparently.
Charles, we're looking for a new host. If you,
there we go. Okay, so for the next question is, Drew, what is the next question?
Charles, tell us how you do that.
Oh, Steve, thank you so much.
No problem.
So the way we do that is, yes, we help clients put in fantastic pieces of software such as those provided by Workiva. So technology is definitely a part of that, and using technology in accounting and in controllership. But along with that technology, you've also got to look at what is the process of going on in the accounting? What is the policy of going on accounting? Are you actually using the right accounting treatment for items, or do you need some help on that? And then it's also, of course, what is the talent model you're going to have for producing of your accounts? What level of skills do you require? How are they going to be based? How are you going to share the work around the team? Are you going to be using shared service centers, et cetera? So it's really looking at it. What we do is really at the intersection of IT, governance, people, and process. And hopefully the outcome is happier accountants doing their job in record time and providing greater insights to their clients.
Amazing.
I love it. Charles, we hinted at this notion earlier in our discussion, but give us your perspective. Is it conceivable that you could work for a company for years and years and never interact with your team in person for that entire time? We're literally hiring people, as many companies mm-hmm. are, I would presume, hiring people during the pandemic. They start remote, they stay remote, and when they're going to interact with other team members in person is, at least right now, TBD. Do you think that's sustainable?
I don't think it's sustainable. Personally, for the first reason is I wouldn't want to work like that for the rest of my career if I was in a profession. I wouldn't want to spend 10 hours a day staring at my screen. I think that's for people's mental health. That's just a terrible thing to do. And I look with a little bit of skepticism about some of the organizations that are saying, once this is all over, we're going to 100% work from home, or we're going to give people the option. And I think, really? So you're never going to have a training class. You're never going to have lunch together as a team. You're never going to be actually coaching someone and helping them navigate that organization so that they can continue on their career. So I think what we're seeing is a lot of temporary people, a temporary fix that, yes, we are continuing to hire people. Deloitte's doing the same, where they start off 100% remote. But certainly my view is that cannot exist forever, both from the employee's sake and their career, and also just from getting the work done.
So let's say I was managing a team previously in person and now everyone's remote. What advice would you give to that person? What would you say to someone struggling to manage their now remote team?
I don't think actually management techniques change. I just think you need to change the method you implement them. So for example, I think the best management technique there is to make sure everyone understands what the mission is. What is the mission of the project? And so for one of my teams, I say the mission of the project is twofold. Is you're going to have a satisfied client at the end of this project because we've fulfilled their business need. But secondly, that your career is going to grow, you're going to learn something new, and you're going to be a stronger professional than when you started out this project. So I don't think that's changed. What I think has just changed now is the intentionality of giving that message, that it's very different communication. It's very, as I said earlier, you can't read people's emotions and how they're feeling just by walking into a room and seeing them hunched over their computer rather than bolt upright with a smile on their face. So as you're coaching people, it's a lot more reaching out on a telephone, calling people directly, seeing how they're doing, listening, asking them the questions, demonstrating your own vulnerability, such that you do that relationship with through technology. But ultimately, you're still saying them that the mission is the same, right? The mission is the same.
Same mission, but different approaches, different tactics to achieve it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, you're never going to change, from my point of view, from one of my projects. I'm not going to suddenly say, actually, that we've got a new mission. The new mission is that you will not grow professionally on this engagement and our clients will not be happy. We're never going to do that, right? So that mission doesn't change. It's just how do we get the team behind them? And so I'll give you an example. We quite often are on our projects, we may have a whiteboarding session or a half-day retreat. And a half-day retreat will be a bit of business to understand the client or maybe understand some new technology, training session. And then it may be followed by, last year we did a scavenger hunt around the Smithsonian Museum, Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. So yes, we still want to get the same outcome, which is, for example, team cohesion and understanding, but we've got to do it differently. So for example, one of my teams, we did weekly presentations on any topic that you like, but you're doing it over a Zoom chat. Mm-hmm. And it was just ended up hilarious. And it was just a good fun thing to do. So for example, we had topics such as what is the greatest reality dating show? And we had the benefits of being less than 5 foot tall and these kind of things. But that, again, it's got to be intentional. You've got to build that team in a different way, still going through the technical aspects, but it's just a different way of building those relationships between each other. How do you guys do it at Workiva? I mean, what have you seen that works well to keep people motivated and working to their best?
Constant communication.
Yeah, I think that for us, because so much of our workforce was remote before any of this happened, I think we had gotten into a pretty good routine in terms of, what does virtual interaction look like? I do think, though, and I'm based remote. I was prior to the pandemic, and of course I am now. But I do think, though, even my interaction that I'm missing for when I would travel to an office, those are valued experiences. I mean, when I would have a hallway conversation or run into somebody in the cafeteria, and it's hard sometimes to draw a direct connection to the day-to-day tasks that I need to get done in light of the absence of those water cooler cafeteria interactions, but those tend to accumulate. And I think then you're left speaking broadly as teams. Then I think you're left with, okay, well, what do we do about it from an employee satisfaction, from a mental health And I don't know if Workiva's gotten it right. I mean, we've got different events and different things that we're doing to get people to socialize with each other. But I still think that's a puzzle that we haven't completed yet, as I would suspect most have not yet completed.
Right. And it's different if you've been in person before. Right.
Yes.
I do really feel for people who are starting new jobs now, and the only interaction they're ever having is like this. I mean, you just can't read people, and you can't build a relationship like this longer term.
No way.
So I think it's hardest for those, and so it just comes down to much more intentional, deliberate communication with those individuals.
So, Charles, as we kind of wrap up the discussion here, just what's the one piece of advice that you give to people who are either facing the reality of working from home or managing a team remotely for the indefinite future?
So, Steve, I've got two answers for that. Do you want the short one, the long one, or both? Up to you.
I would like both, but I'd like them intermingled.
In rhyming couplets, please.
In rhyming couplets. What language? Maybe English rather than American English. That would be refreshing for your audience, I'm sure.
If you could do Celtic, I would appreciate it.
Celtic, okay. So my in response to your question, the easy answer is step away from the screen. Step away from the screen. I take conference calls, walking around the neighborhood. I sometimes just go for a drive. Sometimes it's just a different room in the house. But I think that is probably the most beneficial thing if you're stuck working from home for as long as we all have. That's the best thing you could do for your individual mental health. On the bigger question, I'm a big podcast fan as well. And one of the best ones I listened to last year was called 13 Minutes to the Moon. And it was the story of Apollo 11, which had their 50th anniversary last year. And I found a new hero there. It was a guy called Gene Kranz, who was the mission controller. And they've actually just redone we've got season two of that podcast, which is about Apollo 13, because that's the anniversary. And what is amazing that there's the crisis of Apollo 13, and you have all these mission controllers who are responsible for life support, some of them are responsible for propulsion, some are for communications. They're all running out after the initial explosion. They're running around trying to work out what on earth is going on and how much of the stuff is broken. And then eight minutes into it, you get this guy, Gene Kranz, just very calmly just saying, tell me which part of the spaceship is working. And you listen to that and think, where are you going with that? And he was like, if you were saying it in a management speak, it would be, let's look at our strengths rather than our weaknesses. But it really is, I would just say to any teams, just start there. Just think of your team as that spaceship. So what part of your spaceship is working? And take that and see where you can build on it. See how you can leverage that to other areas. That, to me, is the best way of managing the team, is building on those strengths. And take a leaf out of Mr. Kranz's book.
I love that. And that historical tidbit really dovetails well with our closing question of the day. Every episode, we try to close on a lighthearted note. And today's lighthearted note is, Steve, Charles, if you could time travel, where and when would you like to go?
Can we go backwards and forwards? Sorry.
Can go backwards, forwards, upwards? Maybe not upwards. I don't know if time works like that.
We need all the parameters. Is it we can travel all four dimensions, or we have to be in the right same geography?
No, you can travel. You can travel places. You can travel time.
Oh, fantastic!
I know that really. There's not a whole lot of constraints there.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll tell you. I would go to the year 1969. There would be multiple locations. I could see the Beatles' last public performance. I could see the first Concorde test flight. I could actually watch 1969, Apollo 11, where they landed on the moon. You may also be interested to know that in 1969, Big Bird was originally designed by a drawing by Jim Henson. 1969 is my answer.
this is very spooky because I was just about to say Central Florida, 1969 in July.
Bam!
That is far too spooky.
I love it.
And you mentioned Jim Henson. I'll leave you with one thought. One of my favorite quotes that he of all time is Jim Henson. And it was just, take what you've got and fly with it.
I love that.
Best Nothing podcast else. Ending ever.
I can't imagine a better ending to an episode. I'm Drew Dubner. This has been Off the Books. Charles just slam dunked at home. Please subscribe, leave a review, spay or neuter your pets, just like Bob Barker wanted you to. Or tell your buddies if you liked the show. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.
Slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
Great.
What is it? I still don't know how to do that. I don't really know what one is and why one would want to do it.
Well, to be fair, I don't understand much about cricket.
It's interesting. One of the things... we can do a whole podcast about cricket if you like. I mean, what other sport can you have a game that lasts for 5 days and it rains at 4 o'clock on the last day and it ends up in a tie? The one thing that did amaze me when I came to this country was how many sports analogies are used in business here. It's all over the place.
That's a home run.
Yeah, that's a home run.
That's a line drive.
Yeah, gotta knock that one out of the park.
That's right. Touchdown.